Proverbs chapter 21.
God examines our motives. Good leadership is a channel of water controlled by God. He directs it to whatever end he chooses. We justify our actions by appearances. God examines our motives. Clean living before God and justice with our neighbours mean far more to God than religious performance. Arrogance and pride, distinguishing marks in the wicked, are just plain sin. Careful planning puts you ahead in the long run. Hurry and scurry puts you further behind. Make it to the top by lying and cheating. Get paid with smoke and promotion to death. The wicked get buried alive by their loot because they refuse to use it to help others. Mixed motives twist life into tangles. Pure motives take you straight down the road. Do your best, prepare for the worst. Better to live alone in a tumble-down shack than share a mansion with a nagging spouse. Wicked souls have to make trouble. They feel nothing for friends and neighbours. Simpletons only learn the hard way, but the wise learn by listening. A God-loyal person will see right through the wicked and undo the evil they've planned. If you stop your ears to the cries of the poor, your cries will go unheard and answered. A quietly given gift soothes an irritable person. A heartfelt present cools a hot temper. Good people celebrate when justice triumphs. But for the workers of evil, it's a bad day. Whoever wanders off to the straight and narrow ends up in a congregation of ghosts. You're addicted to thrills. What an empty life. The pursuit of pleasure is never satisfied. What a bad person plots against the good boomerangs. The plotter gets it in the end. Better to live in a tent in the wild than with a cross and a petulant spouse. Valuables are safe in a wise person's home. Fools put it all out for the yard sales. Whoever goes hunting for what is right and kind finds life itself, glorious life. One sage entered a whole city of armed soldiers. Their trusted defences fell to pieces. Watch your words and hold your tongue. You'll save yourself a lot of grief. You know their names: brash, imprudent, blasphemer, intemperate, hotheads, everyone. Lazy people finally die of hunger because they won't get up and go to work. Sinners are always wanting what they don't have. The God loyal are always giving what they do have. Religious performance by the wicked stinks. It's even worse when they use it to get ahead. A lying witness is unconceiving. A person who speaks truth is respected. Unscrupulous people fake it a lot. Honest people are sure of their steps. Nothing clever, nothing conceived, nothing contrived can get the better of God. Do your best, prepare for the worst, then trust God to bring the victory.
Verse 2 says, we justify our actions by appearances, but God examines our motives. Now, in the mid-1990s, there was a TV program called Keeping Up Appearances. How many people watched that, Keeping Up Appearances? Not many of you. Only Derek. Oh, there's a surprise. Well, this was a lady whose name was Hyacinth Bucket, but she would always pronounce it Bouquet, if you please. And she lived to impress, and she had no patience for people who pretended to be superior, because that makes it so much harder for those of us who really are. So assured of her own eminence, she spends her days trying to make sure everyone else is too. It was a very, very funny program, actually, of this woman that really wanted to keep up appearances and to portray something that she really wasn't. The psalmist says, you have searched me, O Lord, and you know me. And the psalmist also made the request, God, search me and know my heart, test me and know my anxious thoughts. The message puts it this way: God investigates my life, gets all the facts firsthand. I'm an open book to you. And then the psalmist seeks that investigation from God. investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine me and test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm about. Remember a few chapters ago, I suggested this prayer, God, help me to see me as you see me. And David wanted to be pure before God. He wanted God to search his heart. God examines our motives. We are an open book to God. Do we make good reading? God tests the motivation of our hearts. It's not about sounding good. It's not just about looking good. It's about being good in God and being true before God in our hearts. Proverbs 21 looks at people who are givers and people who are takers. Verse 26 says, sinners are always wanting what they don't have. The God loyal are always giving what they do have. You can see the stark contrast there. Sinners always want more. And quite often we can fall into the trap, if we're not careful, of thinking about the things we don't have. And the enemy would want us to think that way, to make us feel negative. Oh, I don't have this, I don't have that, and they have this, and they have that. We need to be thankful for what we have and work out how we can give to those who have less than ourselves. I don't know if you can remember birthday parties as a child, and sometimes it ends up where there's kind of one piece of cake left. And normally us children, there's a quick grab for that last piece of cake. It'd be quite incredible if you were at a kiddie's birthday party and they all just stood there and calmly said, no, no, you have it. It's okay. It's the last piece. You can have that. It's okay. There's something within us that wants to take. But we have to be in that place where we turn from takers to people who have the love of God in their hearts. And out of that love, out of that true motivation, we give to others. In the New Testament, there's the well-known story of the widow's mite, who didn't have much at all, but gave so much. And in comparison, we have the picture of one of the disciples, Judas, who was a taker. Even though he spent so much time in the company of Jesus, he was still a taker. And he was a religious taker. Now, on one occasion, a lady came and broke an expensive jar of perfume over the feet of Jesus. And Judas got upset and was quite pretentious. He was showing off. Surely this money could have been spent by giving it to the poor. He had no intention of giving it to the poor. He wanted that money for himself. And so we see that contrast between what's called the widow's mite, that old lady who gave all that she had to Judas, who wanted to take. And there's that challenge in verse 13. It says, if you stop your ears to the cries of the poor, your cries will go unheard and answered. And so we stop or we close our ears, not by putting our hands over our ears, but just by inaction. By doing nothing for the poor, we stop our ears. And we need to make sure that we look after those who are worse off than ourselves. Somebody once said, it's a well-known saying, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men and women do nothing. And we need to be giving, we need to be serving out of the love of God for our community, particularly at this time. And then just to finish off with this powerful encouragement in verse 30 and 31. Nothing clever, nothing conceived, Nothing contrived can get the better of God. Nothing or no one can get the better of God. And this God is our God. And our God is with us every moment of the day. And nothing can get the better of God. Because we're on God's side, it applies to us that nothing can get the better of us because God is with us. Verse 31 says, do your best, prepare for the worst, then trust God to bring the victory. Now, when it says prepare for the worst, that's not in a pessimistic thought of way. That's not in a woe is me, disaster's going to befall me at any moment. When it says prepare for the worst, it says just be wise. Just be wise. Weigh up the situation. Examine the situation. Don't bury your head in the sand. Don't ignore the facts. And in our present climate, ignoring the facts could be dangerous. And in fact, is life-threatening. And we are aware that many, many people, many thousands of people have died. And we're aware that if one of us gets this, the potential of contracting this virus is death. And that's not being negative. That's not being pessimistic. That's just being wise. Because when we face difficulties, we can face them with God, step by step. We can know His peace. We can know His strength. We can know His encouragement. Do your best. Prepare for the worst, then trust God, because God will bring the victory. Whatever we are facing, God will bring us through victorious, because nothing or no one can get the better of God. And just before I go, did I actually mention better to live alone in a tumble-down shack than share a mansion with a nagging spouse, and better to live in a tent in the wild than with a cross and petulant wife? Did I mention that?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I just have mentioned that.